Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation, and Mama sure said there'd be days like this. If, now here's a verbal pill for your children that you should definitely give them. Poetry works, you know, if it was written by great writers as opposed to the fraud artists in the poetry racket today. Listen to this one. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two impostors just the same. Well, it goes on, and it ends with, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son, written by Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling. The poem is called If. I have read it many times in the Savage Nation. That kicks off the program. And, of course, you want to talk about the Stalinist groups that are faking the protests against me. In fact, we know of a protest in New York yesterday, and here is what we got from somebody who witnessed it. Some in New York found it odd that the protesters were almost all men. They had neatly printed identical signs, and there were no children. They suspect it was staged by the Stalinist savage haters. I've gotten tremendous numbers of support letters from program directors, including this one. Those of us who actually heard what he said understood what he was getting at. We have some listeners too emotional and or too close to the issue to realize that Dr. Savage supports them, just not the doctors and parents who diagnose autism out of convenience. The comments Michael Savage made are appreciated as necessary warning for the misdiagnoses and overdiagnoses of many illnesses. As noted by Dr. Savage, the illness is legitimate, though too often the diagnosis may not be accurate. His sincerity is understood by his regular loyal listeners. And I want to thank my regular loyal listeners. Here are some comments from the blogs. I heard the show. This is just the PC police taking it out of context and blowing it out of proportion. Savage rocks. I love seeing those liberals squirm when they are exposed as the fools they are. Rock on, Savage, rock on. Here's another one. Autism is real and should be treated seriously. The kids who really are afflicted need the help. But let's get the phonies out of there. I think that was what Savage was getting at. Another one said, how come so-called autism is increasing? There haven't been any new nuclear power plants built in 35 years, and the air and water is cleaner than it has been in 60 years. Maybe it's because psychiatrists and the education establishment are inventing new forms of mental illnesses and drugging up everyone. And so forth and so on. Many people do see what's going on, and I hope you're one of them. What I'm going to do for you today is, of course, reiterate my position so that you'll actually hear it. You'll also learn things that you may not know about autism. You'll also ask yourself questions that you've not been permitted to ask. Namely, how did an illness go from so few cases to so many so quickly? Now, those in the industry will say that the jump of over 800% increase in diagnoses in less than 20 years. How did this happen? Well, they'll say there's a broader diagnostic criteria for autism and increased awareness. I've heard that. Are you aware, though, that you may have a super bright child that would fall into the definition of autistic or autism, or on the autism scale? Are you aware of the fact that if your child is a slow verbal developer, he or she could be put into the autism scale? Be very mindful of the fact that there are fortunes being made in the medical and educational communities. Now, having said that, I'll repeat what I said yesterday. The real cases of autism deserve our sympathy and our financial support. It is the phonies and the misdiagnosed and falsely diagnosed that we are addressing on The Savage Nation. Now, how do I know that there are phonies and misdiagnosed and falsely diagnosed cases? Well, the experts tell me so. Some experts say that over 58% of the cases are falsely or misdiagnosed. That's Professor Stephen Camerota of Vanderbilt University, who treats authentic autism. He has done so for 30 years. That's his data. Now, who are you going to believe, the professor or some moron in the Stalinist group who are faking the protests against me? I am doing the autistic community a favor by trying to get the phonies out of this business. Of course they don't like what I'm saying. They've got a lot at stake, don't they? Now, let me give you an example. Everyone listening to the show has seen fake disability cases pull up into those blue zones in their cars, put aside for real handicapped people. Society said people who are disabled should have the right to have a parking space because they can't walk as far as people who are not handicapped. So we created blue zones. Now, are you going to lie to me and lie to yourself and say you've not seen fakers pull into those with the blue cards and they get out of their car when they think no one's looking and they look perfectly healthy to you, and the minute you look at them with a scowl, they start limping or holding their back or pull out a cane? You've seen that. Everyone nods and says, yes, we've seen the fakers use the blue zones, and we don't like it. Now, how naive can you be to not believe there are people in diagnostic areas or having been diagnosed with illnesses that they don't have for benefits, for advantages? So given that there is always a small number of people who fake illnesses or are misdiagnosed, already you're on the road to recovery in terms of accepting what I'm saying to you. Now let's go to the actual data. The expert says that about 58% of the people diagnosed as autistic are falsely diagnosed or misdiagnosed. Now, how could this be? The answer is because there is no definitive medical diagnosis, or there are no biomedical markers for autism that I know of. None. There's no blood chemistry that says, aha, you have this illness. There are no MRI changes that I know of that say, aha, you have this illness. So how do you tell if a child is truly autistic or an adult? Well, you use subjective psychological tests, and we know how accurate they are. We know just how accurate psychologists can be. There's another element here. The element is the school system wanting to raise your child for you. It's an attempt by the school system and the state itself to take control of child rearing away from the parent. This is a trend that's going on in America. There, you can't do it, leave it to us, we'll do it. We have the tools you don't have. There are many elements here that need to be looked at. Now, what I'm going to play for you at this time are 2 minutes of my position in defense of Michael Savage that can be found on michaelsavage.com. Go to it right now and listen to this. But again, I will caution you to not rush to judgment, because the truly autistic child needs as much help as he or she can get. And the truly autistic child needs the funding that should be provided. It is the falsely diagnosed, the misdiagnosed, and the outright fakers who want the benefits, who must be found out and must be turned out so that the money can go to the truly needy in this particular field. That was the essence of my conversation last week. Why would I have chosen to attack defenseless children when I've never done so in my entire life? Think about that. What would I have gained by doing it? Nothing. I didn't do it. The fact of the matter is the enemies of the truth did it by using you, the parents of the injured child, to turn on me, the defender of the child. Very clever, the enemy. But those are the times that we live in. Let me say again, all of us have seen the faker with a disability placard on his car pull up in the blue zone somewhere in America, whether it's to a drive-in restaurant or a handicapped spot. And we've seen them get out of their car and look perfectly healthy. And the minute you look at them, they grab a cane or they grab their back and they hobble. We find that to be reprehensible, don't we? Because those blue spots were put there for a reason. They're put there for the convenience of those who are not as able as we are to get around. And we don't want the phony disabled to use them. It's the same situation with the case of autism. We don't want this money pilfered by those who are not autistic. Now, who are those who are not autistic? Are there many? My suspicion is there are many. There are many, many, many people who have been put into this category, either falsely or wrongly, or have put their children into this category in order to get the benefits from it. Again, listen to what I'm saying to you. If a child has a very high IQ, if they're late in talking, well, these are characteristics that can put them into a checklist for autism. That might be an invitation to a false diagnosis. They've now broadened the category to include children in a new thing called the autistic spectrum. Why are they changing the definition of autism? Why has it now become the autistic spectrum rather than true autism? The answer is because there is no definitive medical diagnosis for autism. And I'll leave it at that. We have touched on these things. We've talked about these things. We've gone in circles about these things. So remember what I'm saying to you. The truly autistic deserve our sympathy and our help. The misdiagnosed, the falsely diagnosed, and the outright faking parents need to be found out and turned out so that the scarce resources can go to those who are in desperate need of them.
Savage.
We'll take your calls on this controversy or, frankly, any other topic, including the vermin in the media who are being PR agents for Obama on his big trip to the Middle East. No, there's no bias in the media. No, the mainstream media is not biased at all. They don't overly love Obama and overly hate McCain. They don't turn on Michael Savage on a dime in order to prove that he's a bad guy and they're good guys. No, the mainstream media is just so honorable and so honest. We know that. Now, I don't know if you understand that autism is being used as a criminal defense in too many cases. Case, William Freund, 19-year-old from Aliso Viejo, put on a paintball mask, cape, armed himself, shotgun, went on a neighborhood shooting spree, entered the unlocked home of Vernon Smith and shot and killed Smith and his 22-year-old daughter, Christina, turned the gun on himself and commit suicide. Okay, and there's no defense there, but they're claiming that it may be related to an illness. Here's another case. Robert Derderian, 18-year-old, who was accused of sexually molesting a 12-year-old girl and videotaping what basically amounts to rape. He has been charged with sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl several times over the course of last summer. But here's the punchline. According to his defense attorney, he may not be competent to stand trial because he has Asperger's and autism and will not speak to his attorney. Very careful. Be very, very careful what you accept. It may come back to haunt you. New Jersey, Sean on WOR. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thrilled to get to speak with you. Quick comment. I just wanted to let you know that you hold each and every one of us to a very high standard, whether we hate you or we love you. You hold us to a standard that challenges us with every breath we take. Thank you. Thank you.
I hear what you're saying. You're speaking between the lines. It's for those who understand what you're saying. Most of the haters don't want to be held to any standards, never mind a high standard. They want to retain their position in the gutter. Thank you. The Stalin. It's interesting to me that those who are organizing these so-called protests against Michael Savage because they love children so much, most of these groups have no children. They're men groups like Media Matters. Look into who they are, who they've attacked, what they stand for. How they exist in a free society is a miracle that they haven't been closed down by the FBI. Because if you investigate the funding of Media Matters and you see what kind of money the leaders of Media Matters are taking per year, you'd be shocked. And then if you go a step further and find out where their money is coming from, you'd be shocked again. Now, if you're going to let them take over the media by attacking Michael Savage and other conservatives, you're going to wind up with the ex-Soviet Union in this country. Free speech is meant to defend speech that offends. I told you 100 times the First Amendment has no value whatsoever for polite speech. We don't need the First Amendment for the people in the news business because they're all overly polite. They've been gelded. The men in the news media are gelded. They may as well be department store dummies. They're told every day in every way if they offend any particular group or pressure point, they're going to lose their jobs. They're geldings. They're geldings in suits. Who are they to tell me what to say? One of them had the nerve to say to me, why don't you have the grace to leave the business? I said, why don't you have the grace to leave the business? I mean, I had to deal with this. It's unbelievable to me, the nerve they have. Virginia, Victoria, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm the parent of an autistic son, and there are quite a few things that I agree with you on. One, my son is 14 now. 12 years ago, trying to get him diagnosed with autism was like jumping through hoops. Today, you can go in, two visits, boom, your child is autistic. I don't know. I heard you talk about the broad spectrum of autism. Back then, the broad spectrum of autism, you really had to, you're right, there's so many things you had to prove just to get him diagnosed. My son is autistic. He has Asperger's syndrome. He also has Tourette's. Nowadays, people push, and what I can hear from his teachers, they push and push and push to get these kids in because they don't want to handle their brattish behavior. They don't want to have to deal with, oh, my son is so spoiled rotten, he throws a temper tantrum every time he doesn't get what he wants. So the first thing they do is throw them on Ritalin.
There you go. There you go. And you're a parent of an autistic child, and you actually heard what I have said and what I am saying, that the scarce resources should be preserved and reserved for people like yourself with a really, you know, ill child, as opposed to the fakers who are put in there either because they want the benefits or they're lazy or they're misdiagnosed. That's the whole point. I'm so glad we're having this discussion because I'm going to tell you right now, Victoria, no matter what people think of me, they're going to thank me. In the long run, I'm going to be thanked for having opened up the national dialogue on this phenomenal broad spectrum called autism that has been developed by the guilds of professionals who are making a fortune off the poor children. These guilds have a lot at stake, and they want as many people in that category as they can find, which is why they broadened the definition to include a so-called autism spectrum, which is astounding to me, astounding. You know, today I watched a father with a handicapped son. I was on my bicycle. He took the boy out of his wheelchair, and he helped this little boy up. And I didn't want to, you know, stare at him, so I watched from afar because he reminded me of my brother, and I had to watch. And I saw this loving father help the boy walk around the fountain to look, you know, at the statue in the water like the normal children. I got to tell you something. There's no amount of money. Well, Michael Savage here, 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. My website is michaelsavage.com. If you liberals who suffer from the mental disorder called liberalism care to read a bit about what I actually said instead of taking whole what my enemies have fed you, I suggest you go to michaelsavage.com and read a wonderful article. There's actually three of them, one of which is by Selwyn Duke. That is phenomenal. Right now, though, I have a medical professional on by the name of Dr. Peter Breggin. And Dr. Breggin is one of my favorite guests. I haven't had him on in years. Years ago, Dr. Breggin, who was a psychiatrist, was on this program warning America about the dangers of the overdiagnosis of ADD and ADHD, and particularly the drugging of our children with Ritalin. He is so far ahead of the curve of the medical profession that he's not been on Good Morning America, ABC, CBS, or NBC. They only have the quacks on. Dr. Breggin, welcome to the Savage Nation with your new book, Medication Madness. I really appreciate your taking time out today. So, Dr. Breggin, do you know much about this new epidemic or newly diagnosed number of people with autism?
Oh, I think it's a continuing marketing effort. The drug companies have really saturated America with drugs, and so they are constantly pushing to expand the diagnoses. They have tried everything from advocating drugging of subclinical conditions, that is, conditions that don't even meet the regular clinician's eye, to using all of the adult drugs with children, which is a disaster, and spreading it to so-called bipolar disorder or manic depressive disorder in children, which I have never seen except when it's caused by psychiatric drugs. And finally, this broadening of the concept of autism to autism spectrum disorders. Almost all the experts, Michael, who are involved in this spreading of the diagnostic categories are in the pay of the drug companies.
Unbelievable how right I was. You know, it's been very hard these past few days for being attacked for telling the truth. Well, we had an expert on yesterday, Dr. Camerata, who is an autism expert and treats it. And he actually said that about 58% of the cases are falsely or misdiagnosed. Even he admits that. You go a step further. What percent would you say are not autistic?
Well, I think the diagnoses do more harm than good in general. I avoid diagnosing children with psychiatric disorders because it labels them, puts them into boxes, encourages the use of psychiatric drugs. I try to understand what is happening in the child's life. And a lot of children who are labeled autistic are simply greatly in need of socialization, of a lot more attention from parents, from teachers, from counselors. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not a good idea to go around diagnosing kids. It's never a good idea to go about drugging them. Now, we do, of course, have the reality of children who, at an early age, fail to relate in a normal fashion to their moms and dads and the people around them. Most of these children, if you look at them and watch their behaving, they actually don't relate to people as if they're people.
Let's go back. Now, first of all, Dr. Bregan, you're a psychiatrist. I want the audience to know your background. Isn't that correct?
Psychiatrist. I went to Harvard College. Some of my training was at the Harvard Psychiatric Residency Program, and then I spent 2 years after I finished my full psychiatric training, 2 years at the National Institute of Mental Health. I've published about 20 books now, Michael, about 10 since you've known me, and 30, 40, I don't know, I've lost count, scientific articles. So I'm right in the middle.
You're one of my heroes because you dare speak out against the guilds that are so awfully powerful. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Bregan, I could not believe what I saw. The so-called American Academy of Pediatrics, which as far as I'm concerned should be put in prison for what they've been doing, had the audacity to come out and say that children as young as 2 years of age should be given adult anti-cholesterol drugs without a single scientific study having been done on the possible negative effects of such drugs on the child's liver, muscles, etc.
Right.
You know and I know it's because they were paid by the drug companies to do this, directly or indirectly through grants. Would you agree with that statement I just made?
Yes. What you find with the so-called experts in these areas, if it has anything to do with drugs, you'll find that all of them, virtually all, Michael, are involved with the drug companies, getting research money. Some of them have paid professorships by the drug companies, or they're working in buildings on the medical school built by the drug companies, or they're doing seminars and consultantships for the drug companies, or they're publishing papers written by the drug companies. We've just had a scandal about a guy named Biederman at Harvard who did more than any other person to try to justify drugging children in America, and it turns out he's been hiding just how deep his connections are. In fact, I blew the whistle on him in my new book, Medication Madness, and now the whistling is even louder since the book's been published a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he should go to prison as far as I'm concerned. Anyone who treats children this way, or mistreats them rather, under the guise of being their protectors, are masters of deceit who should be put in prison. But let's get back to the current controversy where I've been attacked by those who didn't even listen to my show on the autism situation. You agree that true autism exists, correct or incorrect?
Well, I believe that some children run into a period of time and even can result in a lifetime of not being able to relate to other human beings. They don't talk with them. They don't look at them. They treat them like tables and chairs. Is this a physical disease? That's not proven. That's a hypothesis largely pushed by people who want to have medical authority or want to drug the kids. But there's no doubt that there is a picture that develops in some children that they have a terrible time relating to other human beings, and it can be very lasting, especially if it isn't handled properly. And the way to handle it, almost all the genuine autism advocates talk about, is with psychosocial and educational means of nurturing and encouraging the child's capacity to learn and to relate to other kids. But it's not proven biological.
Isn't it true by what I've read of Albert Einstein that when he was a very young child, he was a silent child? He stared off into space. He wouldn't talk to the teacher. And in fact, the teacher would yell at him. I read this, and I don't know if it's corroborated, that they shook him to get him to talk because he was considered somewhat off base. By today's definition, wouldn't Einstein have been declared autistic?
He would have certainly been put in the spectrum disorder. Not autistic, yeah. Probably, but in the spectrum disorder. Absolutely. He was very slow. He was not socially very skilled. And it was very noticeable when he was young.
Now, you specialize in very bright children as well. And I remember when I had you on the Savage Nation about the ADD overdiagnosis and the misuse of speed-like drugs called Ritalin on these kids, that it's an attempt to control children, to control their behavior, particularly very bright children. It's killing their creativity by putting them into a mental straitjacket, a pharmaceutical mental straitjacket. Is that the same case in some regard with autism?
It's always the same. All of the psychiatric drugs disable the brain. They're not nutrients. The brain doesn't say, boy, give me more of that. In fact, the brain is so distressed by all of these drugs that it fights back and develops a lot of compensatory mechanisms which make it hard to take people off the drugs because they become so involved with their brain becomes so involved with trying to cope with the drug. And all drugs can do is disable the child's ability to learn and to relate. It can't improve brain function. And Ritalin and Adderall and amphetamine, all of which are highly addictive drugs that the DEA considers the highest addictive drugs, all these drugs suppress function, just what you're saying, Michael. What they all do, and they do it to chimpanzees, they crush spontaneous behavior, and they enforce obsessive-compulsive behavior. And they do it in chimps and cats and dogs and in kids and human beings. And
You said that these drugs suppress what kind of behavior?
Spontaneous behavior, life, the vitality. In a chimp, the chimp stops socializing, stops trying to escape from his cage, stops exploring, and becomes a little compulsive in a corner. And the same thing happens to kids. But
you mean kids on Ritalin? That's exactly why the mean-faced brigades in school want to do this to our boys, primarily our boys. And isn't that a factor as well? Aren't boys the particular target of Ritalin dosing?
Oh, by 9-to-1 over the years, it's been boys to get them to sit down and shut up. It's a sit-down-and-shut-up drug. But the drug companies didn't like the fact that they were losing out on the girls. So they spread the diagnosis to include not just hyperactivity, but other problems like inattention that they could catch early.
It's unbelievable to me. By these loose definitions, I have several childhood disorders that were undiagnosed when I was a child. I've done fairly well in life. You know, 2 master's degrees, a PhD. I've published 25 books. I don't want to go on and on. But had I been diagnosed with any of these illnesses when I was a child, I would be a complete vegetable today.
Oh, yeah, they'd get the best and the most beautiful of us. And, Michael, it's worse than perhaps you've learned or you may have learned about this. There are now screening programs being put into place to screen our kids practically from the cradle through high school. And these programs...
Yes. 18 months of age, these criminals in the American Pediatrics Academy, they want to screen children as young as 18 months of age. How do they get away with this? You know, 20 years ago, the pediatrician was the lowest earner in the doctor spectrum because, God bless them, in those days, they didn't prescribe drugs. They didn't have procedures, so they didn't make a lot of money. And then someone got smart, and they said, wait a minute, how do we get to be like the other docs? Well, we need procedures and we need drugs. And lo and behold, they're now high earners because they've got procedures, diagnostic tests, and they've got RXs they can write, primarily for drugs that destroy the child's brains. In a minute, Dr. Breggin, we're going to get back to you on the most important question of the day. Although there are no biomedical markers for autism that I know of, no blood tests, no MRI scans that show any changes, is it true that they've developed pharmaceuticals to give to these poor children today that don't really work?
They have now approved the most deadly of all drugs in the psychiatric arsenal to give to autistic kids who are, quote, very irritable.
And what drug is that?
Risperdal, which is an antipsychotic drug developed on the basis of subduing state mental hospital patients.
Oh, my God, no!
Yes, the worst of the drugs. Michael, in my work, I do a lot of medical legal work. I do a lot of consultations with injured patients. I've already seen, well, this happened in October of 06. Even before that, I had seen 2 or 3 dozen children with permanent neurological diseases caused by Risperdal, in particular a disease called tardive dyskinesia, which is a deterioration in the motor control and to some extent the mental centers of the brain that produces abnormal twitches, blinking, spasms, can affect the way the child walks, stands, sits, and can be very deforming. And you can just imagine what that does to a child socially.
Oh, my God. How do these so-called quack doctors get away with this? Is there no movement to have these people shown for what they are, absolute criminal drug dealers? How do the people react to them? In a minute, we're going to come back to the great psychiatrist, who to me is a hero, Dr. Peter Breggin, B-R-E-G-G-I-N. I don't have to tell you, Dr. Breggin, you could probably have 1,000 new patients. Parents are probably clamoring to have you tell them that their child's okay and get them off these drugs, but I know that you're probably too busy for that. Dr. Breggin, think about it whether you want the exposure, but I'll be right back with Dr. Breggin, who wrote the great book, which you can buy, called Medication Madness. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We're talking about a controversy that was stirred up when I made some comments about autism. The controversy has not gone away, mainly because the left-wing media, who has had it in for me, has taken what I said out of context, and they will not take any experts who agree with me. We have an expert who doesn't agree with me but agrees with our children, agrees with the health of our children, agrees that our children are being used like guinea pigs in profit centers by greedy, disgusting pharmaceutical manufacturers who we just learned are now putting children diagnosed with autism on one of the most dangerous psychiatric drugs ever invented called Risperdal. Joining us again is Dr. Peter Breggin, B-R-E-G-G-I-N, www.breggin.com. He is a psychiatrist, a real psychiatrist, not a drug peddler. His book is Medication Madness. Dr. Breggin, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Risperdal. Is this the drug that they would give to prisoners? If I watch a show, Lockup, with dangerous prisoners who are out of control in jails, are they putting them on drugs such as Risperdal?
Yes, it's definitely used to control behavior. What it just does is it lobotomizes. It chemically lobotomizes. It blocks the major neurotransmitter system to the frontal lobes, causing apathy and indifference. It's exactly like a lobotomy.
Oh, the perfect American voter.
And you know, Michael, these drugs now, they were originally promoted as being atypical, not as bad as the older antipsychotics. And now they've turned out to cause potentially fatal diabetes and pancreatitis. They cause obesity, just one more thing our kids need, blood pressure problems. These are very deadly drugs. In fact, the drug company that makes a very similar drug, Zyprexa, which is Eli Lilly, has now settled for over $1 billion cases just of diabetes caused by this type of drug. And yet, you read, I'm just reading the National Institute of Mental Health, which really should be the National Institute of Medical Child Abuse at this point in time. It didn't used to be like this. When I was there for 2 years as a full-time consultant, it was not like this. They have a handout where they go against all sanity in autism research and treatment, and they talk about using drugs like Risperdal for behavior problems in children.
How did this happen? How did the NIH get so corrupt? I mean, that's a whole show unto itself. But you reminded me of something I learned when I took basic pharmacology, which was that, you know, there was once a morphine epidemic in the West. People were addicted to morphine. They were using it for children as well. And so they tried to develop a drug that was less addictive than morphine. It was called 3,6-diacetylmorphine, and its name was heroin. And as we know, heroin is far more addictive than morphine. It sounds like the same thing is being done here with these psychiatric drugs.
Well, yes. In this case, it's they really are getting away with promoting these newer drugs for children. In fact, even before the FDA came out and said, well, you can use it for extremely irritable youngsters with autism, these drugs were flooding the pediatric marketplace. Literally, I'm thinking of a little girl came to my office who, after several months on Risperdal, developed a bunch of blinking and spasming of her face, and finally it all calmed down when the drug was removed, except one thing. Her eyes periodically would roll up inside her head. Now, can you imagine what that does to a 10-year-old? Never mind the physical effect, but the knowledge that if she looks in the eye of another child, that at some point her eyes are going to roll up in the back of her head, and what that's going to
do. Yes. Now, if you go on Google and you do a search on Risperdal, listen to the side ads. Help for mood swings? Do you have bipolar? Do you have bipolar? And these are medical groups, hospitals, psychiatric groups, trying to invite people to come in to be diagnosed bipolar or whatever they want to be called. Is this not a business today, Dr. Breggin?
Well, it's a horrible, it's an unethical business. When I was in medical school, my psychiatric training, my entire four-year period post-medical school, three and a half of which was in psychiatry, I saw two or three manic patients, people who were so out of control that you'd say, that's what we now call bipolar. Now every doctor has 10 or 15 or 20 in his practice, if he's got a big practice, and it's all being caused, almost all, by the SSRI antidepressants, which commonly drive people into mania. So it's a business that actually supports itself. First you give the child Ritalin, then the child can't sleep, so you give him a sedative, then the child gets the sad from this combination of drugs, and you give him an antidepressant, and that drives him into mania, and you tell the parents he's got bipolar disorder, and so help me God, Michael, I see this again and again in my practice. Then I start
a drug peddler on the meanest streets of America is to be more trusted than these evil doers. Dr. Breggin, I hope you can stay with us at the turn of the hour. Medication Madness, Dr. Breggin, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is your pal Michael Savage, straight talk unfiltered, as they said in Radio Business Report. And of course, every time you tell the truth, you gore somebody's ox, and the ox responds, and here we are. We are speaking now about a very serious illness called autism. However, it is vastly overdiagnosed and vastly overtreated. There are no biomedical markers for autism. It is strictly a subjective diagnosis. And as you well know, subjective things can be subjective. And if they're subjective, it means that there are false diagnoses, misdiagnoses, etc. Then there are people who want to be diagnosed or have their children diagnosed as variously ill in order to collect certain benefits and get them off their hands. These are facts of reality. Don't blame me for being the messenger of truth. I want to remind you, though, that I'm not alone in my observations. There are others, including Dr. Peter Breggin, psychiatrist, understands what's being done to our children, understands that many pediatricians today are worse than drug dealers. He's written a wonderful book called Medication Madness. He'll join us again momentarily on the Savage Nation. First, I want to welcome a brand-new affiliate in Los Angeles, KGIL 1260 on the dial. We are live in Los Angeles, and to the first caller from KGIL in Los Angeles, to the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255, a special present. Right now, back to Dr. Peter Breggin, Medication Madness. Dr. Breggin, welcome back. So they now have decided to give drugs to some children diagnosed with autism. How widespread is the practice, doctor?
I don't think we have any data on it. We do know that as soon as bipolar disorder was pushed for drugs, it went up over 40 times.
The number of kids being diagnosed as bipolar went up 40 times?
Times over a few years. It's probably up 80 times over the last 5 years.
What is bipolar? I never understood what it is. What is it? They used to be called manic depression in my day.
Back in 1899, a fellow.
That's my day, 1899, my day.
Noticed that some patients had periods of getting out of control or very high or just acting as if they were omnipotent or godlike, and that then they would get better and they would be fine and there would be no medical deterioration, no physical deterioration. And then again, they might have another episode. And he called this mania, and he diagnosed manic depressive disorder as people who went from this state to another state. That is, they went from depression to mania or mania to depression. And that's the original origin of the concept of manic depression. It was thought from the beginning, because this guy was a medical doctor, to be biological and genetic. But in fact, these behaviors, which are real, people do go through cycles like this. These behaviors are real. They've never been proven to be either biological or genetic. In fact, all the attempts to show it haven't. And since you can see these behaviors in normal people, literally at a football game, you can see when I used to live in Washington, D.C., you know, that the stands and half the community would be excited out of its mind thinking that it was winning the ball game with its cheering. And then when the Dallas Cowboys would beat them at the very end of the final quarter, everybody would walk out depressed. So the human being has the capacity to generate, even at a football game, outlandish extremes of being high and being low. So it's not a surprise to me that people struggling with life would do the same thing. But it was not common to see this kind of extreme. But once the SSRIs started to be given out, that is Prozac, Paxil, Luvox, Zoloft, Celexa, we have begun to see enormous numbers of people who, in fact, have terrible time controlling their moods, going from one extreme to another, and it's drug-induced. The vast majority of people I see in my practice, it's drug-induced. And in Medication Madness, I talk about how a man given an SSRI ended up driving his car into a policeman to knock him down to get the cop's gun to kill himself because the pain inside himself caused by the drug, this horrible agitation caused by a drug, drove him bonkers, and he didn't realize why. Another wonderful man who I've known for years and years since this also took one of these antidepressants. He started hallucinating, became delusional. He thought his wife was an alien, and he drove his car into a stanchion and almost killed her. Story after story, and also on the other drugs. But another of a 16-year-old girl who, out of the blue and started on Prozac, wanted to stick a knife into her mom. Thank God, it's the one case in the book where the doctor recognized that Prozac was causing it. The one case out of about 50 stories in the book. And I know these cases very well because I've been a medical expert in them. I've read the medical records, read the police records. I'm not, you know, speculating. I'm describing the unfolding of these terrible behaviors.
Now, you must be attacked by the medical establishment. I mean, look what's happened to me in radio for saying that my comments about autism were meant to boldly awaken parents and children to the medical community's attempt to label too many children or adults as autistic. I've been roundly attacked, called every name under the sun. There are people screaming I should be thrown off the air. It's as though they want to burn me at the stake. It is a witch hunt. Do they do this to you, Dr. Breggin?
Michael, if you can imagine it, it's been done to me over the years because I was the first one to say that the antidepressants were causing people to commit murder and violence and suicide. Now even the FDA admits it causes suicidality, aggression, and hostility. But, you know, I was like 15 years ahead of my time there. Yeah, if you can think of it, it's been directed in my direction for standing up to the establishment. But I've also got the support of wonderful colleagues, a center that you know that we get together every year. And let me tell your viewers that they can get a lot of scientific information off my website, if I may give them the website.
Go ahead. I wished you would.
Breggin.com. It's very simple. Breggin. Breggin.com.
Oh, no, I'm totally in favor of more information. Maybe eventually the controversy surrounding my comments will be seen for what they were, an attempt to actually defend the defenseless. Instead of being attacked for what I said, I should be lauded for what I said. I should be given a prize for what I said. The fact of the matter is I believe there's a racket in many illnesses, and the racketeers are primarily the drug companies. And unfortunately, too many doctors are acting like drug peddlers instead of healers. Do you agree with that, or is that overly bold?
There's no doubt about it now that if you talk to a physician about having any kind of emotional problem, even if it's obviously stress-related, like you're having been fired at work or you have work conflicts, or it's related to, you know, a divorce or the death of a parent, doesn't matter what it is, how real life it is, you're going to get a psychiatric diagnosis and a drug. This is just typical now. Then your brain gets disabled, and you can't go through the mourning process, or you can't adequately deal with the problems at work. But the odd thing is, and this is the first time this has been discussed, and I've now published scientific papers on it as well as medication madness, the drugs spellbind people. You think about alcohol. Somebody thinks he's the life of the party and he's the death of it. He thinks he can drive better than ever and he's a menace on the roads. Well, all psychoactive substances delude us in regard to their effects. So many, many people think they're doing better on a psychiatric drug when in fact they're doing worse. Sometimes when they feel worse, they will never blame it on the drug. They won't say, I'm angry because I'm on a drug. They'll say, my wife made me angry. And often they'll feel better than ever when they're real. If they get into a manic state, they feel marvelous when they're doing terribly. And in the extreme, Michael, people on psychiatric drugs do commit horrendous, violent crimes that they never would have committed if their brains hadn't been soaked in a toxin.
Doctor, I was on CNN last night in a telephone interview on the Larry King show, and then they had two doctors on, and one of them was at UCLA. His name was Gordon. I want you to just listen, if you will, to clip three and comment. Play clip three, if you will.
There are children on the autism spectrum who will have trouble in academic settings and in social settings, and the earlier that we identify these children, we can get them the help that we need.
But
and there are
what?
Going to be people who are uninformed enough to believe Mr. Savage, and children are going to be hurt by his comments.
Do you agree with the doctor that they will be hurt by my comments, Dr. Breggin?
Well, I think they're going to be a lot more hurt by going to a typical pediatrician or psychiatrist when they're screened. You know, I think that's the issue. And I think from reading your comments, which I've just seen in the newspaper, I think you were trying to defend the kids. And I think what you said applies even more to the kids who get labeled ADHD or oppositional defiant disorder. Because from what I heard you say, they need a parent to be giving them discipline. That's what they need. And that is the good discipline, loving discipline. Loving discipline is the key to teaching kids when they grow up. And so many of our children are simply not getting that, and instead we label them with attention deficit disorder. I call it DADD. It's not far from what you were saying at all. Dad, attention deficit disorder.
I was reading that the category of autism includes kids who line things up and get very disturbed if the parent takes any of the objects out of order. Now, how in the world can that be a medical diagnosis?
Well, what happens, Michael, is I do believe that there are kids who fit this diagnosis. That is, that they don't relate well, and they relate very, very badly. They treat people as objects. And then what they do, Michael, is they relate to objects instead of people. So they'll get into arranging their blocks. They'll get into doing things obsessively, which is a way of controlling anxiety and staying away from people. But what these kids need is, again, people. They don't need drugs. The psychiatric diagnoses too often lead to drugs. These kids need more intensive experiences of a loving and caring nature at a very early age because they haven't learned to respond to human beings as human beings. So they
is why many parents are angry. We're speaking with Dr. Peter Breggin, psychiatrist. His book is Medication Madness. His website is Breggin.com, Breggin. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
times to test men's souls. It's amazing to me that I live in a city, San Francisco, where the local newspaper has more venom directed at Michael Savage than they do at the illegal alien who killed a father and two sons. The skunks in the local newspaper have more sympathy for an illegal alien who gunned down a father and two sons than they do for a hero to so many hundreds of thousands of people in the Bay Area and so many millions across America. And there's a reason for it. The reason is because they are the sick people. The people in this country and the media are, by and large, probably on psychiatric drugs. They are distorting virtually everything they see and everything they say. That's one of the reasons newspapers are in decline. That's one of the reasons television viewership for the news is down. It's one of the reasons talk radio is up. And that is what I'm trying to tell you here. Don't believe everything you read in the newspaper. Certainly don't believe everything you hear on talk radio either. But how are you going to argue and say to yourself, everything that I said about this is wrong and everything that the doctors have told you is right, when I've had one expert after another who tends to agree with what I've told you? That autism, while it exists, is broadcast now to an extent that tens of thousands of people are being diagnosed who are not truly autistic, and now they're being drugged on top of it. You should be thanking me for alerting you to these dangers instead of reviling me. Don't you understand that? Joining us again is the psychiatrist, the great psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin. Book is Medication Madness, Breggin.com. Dr. Breggin, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I wouldn't expect you to comment on my political commentary because I would rather that you stay in the medical arena. Are they prescribing other drugs for autism, even though the condition itself may not be as clearly diagnosed as they'd like people to believe?
Well, not only are physicians doing it, but I'm looking at the National Institute of Mental Health commentary on the treatment of autism. And they come out and they say, and these are the people, frankly, that should be getting picketed, that the NIMH and the APA should be picketed because of what they're doing to the kids. They come out and they advocate that Prozac and Luvox and Zoloft and other drugs, and Afrinil, that these drugs improve the eye contact and social contact of children. There's no evidence for that. These drugs distort the child's perceptions. They don't even put in here that there's a black box warning that these drugs increase the suicide rate in children. The FDA has a black box warning that it increases suicide, causes hostility, agitation, and can cause a general worsening of the condition. Mm. In fact, the FDA says you got to give parents a booklet describing things like suicide and aggression and hostility and a worsening of condition from these drugs.
Dr. Breggin, how does a society return? How do we get away from the drugging of our children, the drugging of our general population? We seem to be a nation as addicted to prescription drugs as to illegal drugs. It reminds me of a time in the history of China when the people were put on opium. The British, as you know, imported opium and drugged almost the entire nation with opium. The Chinese were pacified and made into serfs, exploited by the West as a result of the pacification of the population of China. And it was only the Boxer Rebellion that threw the British out and kicked the country off the addiction of opium. What is it going to take for this country to kick the addiction to drugs?
I don't have the answer. You know, I have spent, I'm 72 years old now, Michael.
Wait a minute, then you should run for the presidency.
I've written 20 books. I've formed an organization. We have a peer-reviewed scientific journal, all of it looking at these issues, and it's on my Breggin.com, but I don't have the answer. A big part of the problem, and this is where we have to look at these complicated questions about the free market, but a big part of the problem is the enormous wealth of the pharmaceutical industry that allows it, for example, to settle billions of dollars every year while it goes on not disclosing the information they have about the dangerousness of the drugs without ever having to go to court because they pay people off to silence.
Oh, my. It's worse than I think. Dr. Breggin will be back in a moment right here on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about a very important topic, which is the health of our children. With us is Dr. Peter Breggin, psychiatrist, author of Medication Madness. He totally opposes the broad diagnosis of autism because he doesn't think it's as broadly affecting our children as the medical community would like you to believe. He also is shocked that they're prescribing dangerous drugs to our children and turning our children into little robots. Let me just tell you an anecdote for a moment. The other day, I learned a lot on my bicycle because I actually bicycle partly for exercise and partly to socialize. Speaking about socialization, talk show hosts tend to be too isolated, so I try to socialize by observing in my local community. I was bicycling by a pet store, and I saw two elderly British ladies of the old school speaking to each other. One lady was trying to give away cats that were set for euthanasia, and she was a lovely lady. And another lady was talking with her, and they were very genteel. And I overheard her say to the lady, "Well, when you lose," I think she was a pet, I'm not sure, it could have been a spouse. She said, "It's very, very important that you not stay home alone." She said, "It's very important that you even get a job." And she said, "Stay in familiar surroundings." She said, "The reinforcement of your surroundings is very important." And I took note of those words. I said, I grew up in an age when women particularly had common sense advice for people who were grieving or people who were in stress. They didn't say, go see a psychiatrist and get drugged. And yet we live in an age where there's no common sense left, it seems to me. At the first sign of a real life situation, we turn ourselves over to a medical establishment that is increasingly corrupted by the pharmaceutical industry, and right away the person is put on a medication and sent home, and they might get worse. And I think Dr. Breggin is trying to say that. Dr. Breggin, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I certainly don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I think you would agree that common sense has gone out of the American social community.
Oh, I totally agree with what you're saying about that. I have a little history that really supports some of what you said that you've been attacked for. Autism was first defined very recently in the 1940s and 50s. And the leading man who did it was a very famous psychiatrist named Leo Kanner, Kanner with a K. And Kanner said that the main association, the main thing that seemed to be causing autism in children was cold, aloof parents. Now, this makes common sense. The child is having difficulty relating and doesn't learn to socialize and relate to other human beings like the people.
Wait, no, I really have to take note. I was almost floored by what you said. The original diagnosis, he said, the doctor who did so said it was related to cold, aloof parents?
Yes, and he actually defined these parents as high-achieving professional parents who basically weren't taking the time to connect with their infants and children at the age
of... Hold on, this is one of the largest attacks against me. Could it be that he's guilty?
Well, I don't want to get into that because I actually don't know. I don't think we have the science yet to know, or the knowledge or the studies to know just what goes on. But I'm telling you that you're not far off when you came to that conclusion, because it's the exact conclusion that Kanner came to as the man who developed the whole concept. Now, what happened after that? Parents got outraged, and they joined with the pharmaceutical industry, which certainly wasn't going to get a good foothold if people believed that this was environmental. And between the biological psychiatrists, all of whom are tied to the pharmaceutical industry, and the parents' groups, the idea of even hinting anywhere in the medical profession that Kanner might have been right. Kanner, who wrote dozens and dozens of papers, and his colleagues, scientific papers, that they could be right, was like you were the devil. So you just have caught that edge that exactly suppressed these ideas in the medical profession. But let me say, really, that I don't know exactly what goes on in the development of these children. I don't think, I mean, this diagnosis has only been around since the 1940s. Certainly in some cases that I see, you can say, hey, if these parents can be turned around to relate in a whole new way, there's going to be a dramatic change in this child. And I do that in my practice. I do that in my practice. I turn kids around by working with the parents. I may never even see the children. What children in general need, whether autism is caused by something we don't know about or whether it's caused by a failure to connect in the early years to a parent. Whatever it is, we know what the kids need. They need the same thing every other kid needs. They need love. They need attention. They need education. They need somebody to guide them. They need somebody to get their attention. They need somebody to love them in an eye contact, heartfelt, spiritual way. It's what all children need. And the kids who are the most in trouble, who can't control their behaviors, that is, they get labeled ADD, maybe because they aren't controlling their behaviors. A lot of kids get labeled ADD because the teacher is boring. But let's suppose the kid can't control his behaviors. Well, he needs more parental attention to help him get his behaviors under control, loving attention. And he needs more teacher attention to get his behaviors under control. And it's the same thing with autistic children. Whatever the origin of their inability to relate to human beings as human beings, to look them in the eye, to care about them, to touch them in a loving way, the kids are missing all of that. And many of them don't even develop the ability to talk to human beings. Well, whatever the cause is, what they need is loving parents, loving teachers. They need to be wrapped around in the arms of everything the community can give to them, and they don't.
Isn't that amazing? You would be considered speaking blasphemy today. You would be roundly attacked, as I have been for the last week. There are people calling for my firing, mainly people who don't listen to the show, by the way. People who are in the business of hating conservative radio in general are behind it. Most of my affiliates, 99% of them, understand where I'm coming from. They know I've devoted my life to defending the defenseless, mainly children. And they know that my attackers are the usual gang of attackers funded by George Soros. But let's put that aside. Here you are, a medical psychiatrist. You've worked with children. You've written many books. You're in a great phase of your career where you can speak out boldly and honestly. How do parents take what you say? Do they not get offended?
Well, of course, many get offended. And what I say to them is, when you give up the idea that you can influence your child, you really give up the responsibility of parenthood. Or if you're a teacher and you're having a problem with a kid who's bored in the back of the classroom or talking to the little girl or jumping up and down, and you don't work on how to gain that child's confidence and attention and build a relationship with their child, when you instead diagnose the child and hand the child over to these medical child abusers who are going to give diagnoses and drugs, you're missing out on one of the great things in life as a teacher or a parent, which is to marshal all of your spiritual, moral resources, all of your kindness, all of your discipline, all of your patience to help as much as you can with your student or with your child who's having difficulty.
Well, you know, the words that struck me most significant in that statement were the words spiritual, moral. I think you've touched on the core. The well has been capped on the spiritual and moral in this country. The forces of evil have poured concrete into the well of spirituality. They have capped the well of compassion in this country. And there's another element in what you said that I am chillingly going to agree with wholeheartedly, which is that this is an attempt to get parents to turn over the raising of their child to, in essence, agents of the state. This is an attempt to destroy the family itself. And this is why it's such an emotional topic. This is why I've been so reviled by those who are ignorant of the realities, the bigger picture, and the people who do not want to take responsibility for reality, and they want to blame me, the messenger. But Dr. Breggin, I want to again put out your website, breggin.com, B-R-E-G-G-I-N. I want them to buy your book, Medication Madness, and I want them to try to see all sides of this situation before they start calling for another witch hunt. Dr. Breggin, any last words on the Savage Nation?
I think that you do need to be defended. I may not agree with everything you say, and you may not agree with everything I say, but you are pointing out a crisis in America with the diagnosing and drugging of our children. And I wish the people who are attacking you would instead defend their children from psychiatric child abuse. And that's what I believe, in essence, you were trying to say.
I will leave it at that, but I'm going to post this entire conclusion, the last 10 minutes of the show, on michaelsavage.com as a perennial conversation. I want people to be able to hear this over and over again and email it to friends. Dr. Breggin, thank you very much. You know, it's interesting. You're in the Finger Lakes region of New York, correct?
Yeah, I moved here 6 years ago to get away from the media a little bit and some of the stresses and strains.
But it's interesting because I have family members traveling to a family event right in your hometown, I think, this week on Friday, and I wasn't going to go. If I were, I would look you up, not for treatment, but for a cup of coffee.
Going to.
Well, the next time you're in San Francisco, how about if I take you out for a cup of coffee?
I would be delighted.
It's an open invitation. Dr. Breggin, you're one of my heroes. You have been for years. I'm so glad you're with us today on the Savage Nation. Thank you very, very much. It's 45 minutes after the hour. This is the Savage Nation. I open it up to the callers at 1-800-449-8255. Please visit michaelsavage.com. And before you hate me, maybe you ought to think about who you really ought to hate. And that would be the people who are drugging your children and lying to you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation 50 minutes after the hour? There are some other headlines. I was scanning the Associated Press, and I noticed that the Olympics in China is not drawing as many people as they hoped. They overbuilt the hotels. Darn, you can't even get a good piece of St. Bernard anymore. Apparently, the Chinese government has ceased serving dog in the hotels in order to make themselves look like nice people. As you well know, they raise dogs like St. Bernards from puppyhood right to slaughter, 3 or 4 years of age in a cage, and then they kill them by beating them to death with a stick so that they are more tender. Wonderful country. Wonderful country. And, of course, if you speak out like I do in China, you wind up having your kidneys harvested. Of course, they wouldn't harvest my kidneys. I'm too old. But let's say I was young enough and the kidneys and other organs were still useful. Why, they'd be on a plane to a Western nation within a few seconds. Many political prisoners are having their organs harvested. Terrific nation to do business with. It's a terrific thing that we have such upstanding and moral senators who understand the dangers of dealing with a diabolical communist nation like this. Anyway, to get back to the issue du jour, it is the issue of the illness called autism, the controversy that my controversial comments have stirred. I want to thank all of the people in the radio business who actually listen to my show for supporting me. And I want to thank you for being open-minded enough to actually have heard Dr. Breggin and some of the other experts that I've had on the show who tend to support what I said in different ways and to understand that there's an awful lot of money at stake here and that the guilds involved do not want an alternate opinion to get out, and they want you to believe that there are that many people with autism. I hope you come away saying, you know what, maybe the Savage guy is right after all. Just maybe these doctors are peddling drugs because they're too tied into the drug companies. Just maybe America will be awakened to the and have the vigorous dialogue that we need to have about the drugging and straitjacketing of our children with drugs and medical diagnoses, which are false. Pennsylvania, Dan, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I have worked as a therapist with children with autism, and I want to say that I agree fully with your comments that there is no epidemic. The Asperger's diagnosis is basically a fad diagnosis. Any child who has developmental concerns or quirks is automatically being placed in this category, and there's really nothing objective to it. Oftentimes, it's in the eyes of the beholder. Mm-hmm. In my work, I've noticed that a relational approach, no matter whether you're dealing with autism or you're dealing with children who receive the label of ADHD, this is where we need to go. But the problem is we don't want to address the real social problems. Instead, we want to blame the child's brain. And we've been fed this lie of biochemical imbalances, which has led to an entire industry mainly based on greed. And sadly, what I'm seeing, too, I have seen children brought to me as young as 4 years old being placed on antipsychotic medications.
Oh, my God. It's worse than I think. It's worse than I think. Now, so you must be in danger of losing your job because you're standing up to the drug guild.
Yes. Basically, I know Dr. Bregan, and I support his efforts immensely. I'm kind of in the same position. And, yes, when you take a stand on these issues, you are basically an outcast in your profession many times.
It's sad to hear that you have to face this for telling the truth and trying to blow a whistle on this greed. And the ultimate victim here are our children. What's amazing to me is that people in the talk radio business do not even respect the First Amendment themselves, that they would rather have a guy like Howard Stern actually take a mentally handicapped person and abuse him on the air, verbally and physically abuse the man, as I've seen it done on television, and say nothing and think it's funny. And I try to blow the whistle on the medication, the over-medication of our children, and I am attacked. It's frightening, Dan, to see this much ignorance and cowardice in the American media today. Thank you very much for the call. But then there are those who support me. My good friend, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to name him. One of my sponsors from the day I began in talk radio was Swiss America, the gold people. And I consider Craig Smith to be a friend of mine. And he sent me this email, and he said, Michael, the Bible says, beware when men speak well of you. You are not looking for the approval of these Neanderthals who claim they care about children. He said, you get your approval from doing and saying what is right. God is pleased, and that is what counts. There is a price that is paid in that process, however. Thank God for a man like you that is willing to do the heavy lifting. I know it is tough. Man, do I know, Michael, but it is the right thing to do. And those of us who know your heart are in full support of you and the truth. Frankly, in many cases, they are one and the same. So stand firm, my friend. And that is exactly the kind of message I need to get at this time. I only wish it was coming from the radio industry per se, but it's well enough that it's coming from some in the advertising world, and I'll leave it at that. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. There are many other stories out there if you care to talk about them. What is amazing to me is that we have here in San Francisco an illegal alien who killed a father and two sons over nothing. He should have been deported. He had been involved, allegedly involved, in the murder of two other men 2 months before. He was released by the district attorney, Kamala Harris. The mayor is passing the buck to the federal authorities. And this rotten city that I live in, which has so many wonderful, honest people, and it is ruled by some of the most corrupt, demented people in America, this rotten city filled with the most rotten politicians in America are not in prison is amazing to me. How the district attorney of our city could not be charged with a crime for having released this murderer to the streets is amazing to me, that I live in a country like this, and to think that they own the newspaper, a newspaper that continuously attacks me for telling the truth and continuously supports these villains who release murderers onto the streets, is a sad statement of the times and the crimes that we live in today. Michigan, LaVon, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, we didn't know any of this going on until I listened to our local news, WSBT in South Bend, Indiana, and they didn't tell everything. They just made it look like you didn't believe in people or kids with autism, so I turned it to your station. My son and I used to listen to it all the time, busy lately, and my son has autism, the lowest form, Asperger's, and he completely gets it. He, even said, I can't believe they didn't tell the whole thing. He said, Mom, that's not right. He said, Mom, call him. So I wanted to call and let you
know.
I'm
glad you tuned in to listen to what I actually said and listen to Dr. Bregan and understand the totality of the lie that is being put against me. But, of course, the TV stations are what they are. They're filled with the lowest order of humanity. We know that. They are in the media business. They're vultures and liars. And that's why America rates people in the media lower than lawyers even. And I'll stand by my words. I love children. I've defended them all my life. I wish I could say that about your local TV affiliate.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation. It's amazing to me that most of you don't even know what's going on in your own country. Here I am, Michael Savage, attacked for saying things that needed to be said to open up a dialogue about autism and a broader picture of the drugging of our children, the over-medicalization of our kids, the psychiatric definitions that are not real. And at the same time, the ACLU has just successfully helped strike down an internet child protection porn law, meaning a federal appeals court just ruled that a lower court ruling that struck down as unconstitutional a 1998 law that was protecting children from sexual material on the internet was unconstitutional. The vermin in the ACLU who should be arrested and their assets seized are the people behind the attack on Michael Savage. Their cousins in this attack upon truth and the American way are the vermin in Media Matters, funded by a vile anti-American character named George Soros. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The ACLU challenged a 1998 law that has protected children from sexual material on the internet. The ACLU succeeded in finding judges that they own, crackpots in black robes, who have said it is unconstitutional to protect children from sexual material on the internet. The crackpots in black robes, rotten, corrupt lawyers who are owned by the porno industry, agreed with the ACLU that children do not need to be protected from pornography on the internet. In its ruling just hours ago, the so-called Federal Appeals Court in Philadelphia, the Third U.S. Circuit, concluded that the Child Online Protection Act is unconstitutionally overly broad and vague. In other words, the pornographers have won. And who is being attacked? Not the pornographers. Who is it in the media? The nice men in the white suit, in the white shirts and ties who have attacked Michael Savage. The empty skirts, the empty suits in the media who have attacked Michael Savage. Why haven't they attacked the pornographers? Why haven't they attacked the perverts in the ACLU? Why haven't they attacked those who really are offending our children? The answer is because they agree with them. Because although they wear white shirts by day, God only knows what they wear by night. And on that wonderful note of the distortion in our society today and the evil that is in the media, the evil that is in our courts, the evil that is in the entire network of lies that you are feeding upon, I will continue to stand here every day, so long as God gives me the power of the microphone. I will use it to protect the children, to protect the defenseless, and to tell the truth the best I know it. I will now go to the callers. Houston, Texas. Kyle, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Doc Savage, I don't have anything profound to say. I just wanted to call and support and say you're exactly right. I've had boots on the ground for over 15 years. And I've seen what you said and what the doctor said, and you're exactly right. And I'm upset. Yeah, you're right.
You should be upset. I'm like the biblical prophet being stoned to death by the liars in the media. That's what you should be upset about, and you should direct your anger at the media, and don't cry over it. We're living in very sick times when the evildoers, the perverts in the ACLU, can undo a federal law that has protected our children from pornographers who are using them in dirty movies on the internet. And I am attacked, not them. What does that tell you about the nice men in the white shirts and ties with the Colgate smiles in these television stations? It tells you everything you always knew about them. Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy land. There shall not a man of them stand against thee. Joshua therefore came upon them, and suddenly, for he went up from Gilgal all the night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And they chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth-Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Machader. What does it have to do with anything? I don't know. Does it have to do with anything? Are these just the musings of mentally ill olive growers in ancient times? You do know that, of course, if the people who wrote the Word of God were alive today, who were quoted the prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah in particular, they would have been declared to be manic depressive or bipolar. We would have no Proverbs. Ezekiel would be probably in a mental hospital for the things he wrote. That's the world we are living in. We are living in a time of utter and absolute spiritual death. And those who have brought the spiritual death upon ourselves and our children are many, and they are far and wide in the media, in the drug establishment, in the medical establishment, in the legal establishment. And I am telling you, this is a battle that's almost impossible for me to fight on a daily basis. The forces against me are overwhelming. And yet, I have a spirit that lifts me up and brings me before you every day on the radio show. Where this energy comes from is a secret and a mystery. It's a secret to me because I don't know the answer. It's also a mystery to me because I don't know the answer. Some would say that it's God-given. Some would say that I've been given this microphone. And against all odds, I continue to survive. I've been attacked and reviled for years. Now, there are those in the media who pretend to be controversial, but in fact, they specialize in non-controversial controversies. And they go very, very far in the media by pretending to be controversial, by attacking Democrats, for example, or attacking Republicans, in the typical nonsense of the government media complex. But the truly controversial, who are the prophets of our day, cannot be heard in this country. They are vilified. It's amazing to me that I even am on the air altogether, to be honest with you. It's amazing to me that I'm on the air at all, and I have wonderful advertisers who believe in the freedom of speech. Whether they agree with me or not is irrelevant. They understand that the essence of democracy is freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And the day they start to cater to the ACLU and Media Matters and the other forces of darkness is the day we all fall into the abyss of the ex-Soviet Union. Want to read Jeremiah? Tell me what a psychiatrist would say about Jeremiah for the things he have written. If he had written, yeah, if thou wilt put away thy detestable things out of my sight, and wilt not waver and will swear as the Lord liveth, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then shall the nations bless themselves by him, and in him shall they glory. They would say he has a Jesus complex, even though he wrote before Jesus, the time of Jesus, and they would put him on a dangerous antipsychotic drug. Or if he had written, for my people is foolish, they know me not. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. They probably would have demanded he be committed immediately. They would have tasered him and put him in the back of a police car. Or if he had written things today, should I pardon thee? The children have forsaken me and sworn by no gods. And when I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves in troops at the harlots' houses. They are become as well-fed horses, lusty stallions. Everyone neigheth after his neighbor's wife. They would have said he's a madman. He's going against the times. They would have laughed him out of Jerusalem, and they would have put him in a mental hospital. He certainly wouldn't have a radio show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Look, I've had a lot of requests to go on big shows. Good Morning America wants me on tomorrow. I don't have the time nor the ability to do this. And so what am I going to do? They're going to continue to play the original tape that was taken out of context by the evil Stalinist Media Matters. They're not going to play any of what I have explained today, not Dr. Breggin, nothing other than what they want the world to hear. They will spend most of their genius attacking a great man, a good man like me, and let the pornographers go. Now, why is it that they don't attack pornographers or illegal aliens who kill a family? Why is it that Good Morning America will never attack an illegal alien who slew a father and two sons? Why would they want to attack me? Well, if you go back to the Bible, you'll see that they are actually on the dark side of things. The media is at the dark side. By and large, you know that to be true. That is why America detests the people in the media, with very, very few exceptions. That is why they distrust the media, with very few exceptions. That is why the people don't support the media, with very few exceptions. That is why the people are bailing on newspapers. That's why newspapers are dying, because they have fallen into the hands of those in the dark side. But there are some of us who still listen to the, quote, still small voice that is referred to in the Bible, particularly in 1 Kings 12, a still small voice. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Most of you who are on medication don't know what I'm talking about, because it's that very still small voice that your doctor has killed with Prozac and Prozac-like compounds or Alderol or something else that you may be on. And although you go to work every day in a white shirt and tie and pretend to be just like everybody else, in fact, the still small voice that is in you, that you have killed, is exactly why you are who you are and why the country is the way it is and why we have a man like Obama who can be presented as a legitimate candidate for the presidency. He's unknown before the campaign. He has nothing actually in his history that would qualify him to be a president. He has done nothing, written nothing that I know of that is of any note. And he's a complete product of these very people in the media who have killed their own still small voice. So you say, well, is this political? It's very political. Medication is very political. In the ex-Soviet Union, I will remind you, anyone who disagreed with the system was declared schizophrenic or mentally ill in other ways, and put on medication against their will, in many cases put into psychiatric wards by the Soviet Union. We are going in that direction. The evil medical establishment in the United States of America is only a step away from criminalizing political commentary that they disagree with. There have been people who have been calling what I said a hate crime. They are the very same haters who have no children of their own. They are the Stalinists in Media Matters. They are the truly evil of our time. They would drag us into the ex-Soviet Union while calling themselves liberals or progressives. I don't think you understand the big picture. Many of you who are even supporting me don't even understand the danger we are in. And what I represent is a lightning rod of the truth. But as I said when this first happened, they want to destroy the entire nation of freedom that we have. And they are doing it under the guise of liberalism, compassion, progressivism. Fact, again, if you want to see where this comes from, I found something in the Bible that will floor you. I'm not going to invent one word. It's in Isaiah, one of the prophets of the Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 32, verse 5. I'm going to read it to you verbatim. It's one line. The vile person shall be no more called liberal. I didn't make that up. It's astounding. It's there. The vile person shall be no more called liberal. Now, how is it that this could be in the Bible? How could that be? How is it possible? But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand, Isaiah. How is that possible? How did the Bible write about liberals and liberal things? I don't know. I'll let you think about it. But the Lord God hath given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I should know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear, to hear as they that are taught. What does that mean? What is this gibberish that Isaiah has written? Is it gibberish? Did he need medication? Was this ancient Israelite, this poor ancient Israelite, deficient in vitamin B3? Did he need psychiatric drugs? Well, the medical establishment would say that's why we have this evil book called the Bible doing so much harm on the earth. They are, by definition, atheists. They are, by definition, hardcore Stalinists in wanting to drug away not only men like me, but drug away your own conscience, the conscience of your child, the child who screams out, the child who acts out, the child who begs for attention is being drugged out of existence by these statists, these insignificant little men who are worse than the lowest drug peddler on your meanest street in your town. Now, why do I say such harsh things about such wonderful men with medical degrees who do these things to our children? Because I mean it. Because I mean that a crack dealer doesn't pretend to be a healer. He is a crack dealer. He knows he's a criminal. While the doctor, who may or may not know that he is damaging our children, is worse than the crack dealer. He took the Hippocratic Oath. Actually, they don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore. They don't even say, I shall doctor first do no harm. They don't say that anymore, do they? In fact, the adage in medical schools today is probably doctor look for profit centers the minute you get out of medical school. Because when medicine becomes simply a profit-driven enterprise, it is no longer about healing, is it? It is no longer about healing. It's about scamming the public. And I'm trying to warn you that scamming the public is one thing. Damaging the brains of our children is another. Now, what can you do about it? I'll let you decide what you can do about it. I'm not leading a revolution here. I'm trying to alert you to the fact that we have a very dangerous, out-of-control drugging of America. And when it's now gotten to the point where the American Academy of Pediatrics has gone so far over the edge that they're actually prescribing drugs for children as young as 2 years of age, and then we learn that some of these doctors have been in the employ of pharmaceutical firms, and they are not put in prison, then maybe you understand what needs to be done in this country. I was the first one in the American media that I know of in 1994 to sound the alarm about the immigrant invasion, the onslaught of illegal immigrants. 1994, when I began to talk radio, I started talking about borders, language, and culture, how our borders were being overrun. I talked about the lax policies of Doris Meisner, the INS chief under the Clintons. And I was right. I was way ahead of the curve. There are many, many issues that I championed first in talk radio. And I'm telling you that although I am the first to champion this issue of the drugging of our children, I will not be the last. And I promise you that long after I am gone from radio, maybe years from now, you will find that what I started here in this week will live way beyond my tenure in radio, possibly well beyond my own existence. And it will become a cause that just might save our children from the evildoers in the medical pharmaceutical Savage cartel. So the forces of darkness, the ACLU, Media Matters, and others, have overthrown a Child Protection Act that's been in place since 1998 because they own the judges in the appeals courts. Now they're going after freedom of speech and talk radio. They have been for quite a while. And you, the people, have a choice here. You can either believe the lies that are being thrown against me, or you can actually listen to what I'm saying and judge for yourself. What would I have gained by attacking poor children with autism? Tell me. Tell me what I have gained. Are you that cynical to believe that I need the attention that much? Just use common sense. Nobody can win attacking children, so you have to understand I didn't attack children. In fact, what's amazing to me is that I've spent my entire adult life defending the defenseless. And those bringing the charges against me generally are not married. They have no children. I'm talking about the vile creatures in Media Matters. We know who they are. We know what their lifestyle is about. It's really a death style. And why they hate me is obvious. I consider people in the ACLU and the Media Matters group very much like the HIV virus. It invades healthy defense cells like Michael Savage. It mimics the defenders like Michael Savage by taking over the role of the defender when, in fact, it's the poisoner of our society, in this case, particularly our children. They are the HIV virus of the body politic. Understand that the ACLU is a vile disease germ. Media Matters is a vile disease germ. All you got to do is look into who they are, what they do, who created them, and who funds them, and more particularly who their targets are. One last note from the Bible, because it's astonishing. And it says, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Now, I want to go back again to this. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Well, today, if a child is a prophet, they would say he's psychotic and put him on Adderall. "Your old men shall dream dreams." Well, it depends upon what the dreams are. If the dreams are in a certain manner and acceptable, I guess they can dream dreams. But if your old men dream other dreams, I guess they need medication. It says your young men shall see visions. Really? We can't have visions in our young men. They must be bipolar. And so they need treatment from the crackpots in the university hospitals. And so they put them on medications. So do you understand the battle that is going on? Do you understand that I, as the lightning rod, Michael Savage, am in the heart of this battle once again? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I rest my case. This battle is much bigger than me. I just happen to be weathering the storm right now. But you must understand that you're part of the, you're in this battle, whether you like it or not. The survival of the soul of America is at stake. The survival of your children is at stake. And you have to take an active role. It can take many forms. It can be as simple as you being called in by an uneducated adult in a school system who is an ignoramus, who has been told to put your child into a category called autism for simple behavioral characteristics, and say, wait a minute now, how do you dare say this about my child? Are you a medical doctor? Well, no, but I have this book that I was given. You can start by saying to that school personality, I am going to bring a lawsuit against you for practicing medicine without a license unless you remove this stigma from my child right now. You can start a chain reaction up and down the entire medical system. You can do it. I hope that there's some vicious lawyer listening to this show, lawyers who I generally don't trust, tort lawyers. Why don't you initiate lawsuits against school systems who are overdiagnosing this illness? Maybe you can make a fortune doing it. I mean, you've gone after asbestos companies and Vioxx manufacturers. You're looking for your next big buck? Go after the school systems. Say that they've diagnosed, falsely drugged children, and they've damaged our children. Go after the school systems. Bankrupt them. See if I care. Maybe they will stop playing doctor with our children. So there are many things that can be done to start this revolution to save our children. And I leave the rest to your imagination. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. You're listening to The Savage Nation. On my website, michaelsavage.com, there are many stories, but mainly today it is in defense of myself. And I do have to defend myself, because if I am not for me, who will be? Of course, if I am only for me, what am I? And the answer is to be seen on michaelsavage.com. Let us go to the callers. Tikva in New York City on WOR, my wonderful affiliate in Manhattan and surrounding area. What's on your mind, Tikva?
Hi, I'm an ABA therapist with a prominent agency in New York. And today the agencies have really co-opted that term autism. What they do is they send the parents to neurologists that are willing to give this diagnosis for children that I have been working with. And I know for a fact that they're not autistic. They're mentally retarded. They're neurologically impaired. Mm-hmm. They have severe brain damage. And they're labeled autistic because the agencies make more money with this label.
And, oh, my God. You mean there's more money if the child is declared to be autistic than brain damaged?
The state pays much more money for a child that's labeled autistic for ABA therapy than they
Oh, my God. No wonder I've touched a raw nerve. Well, Tikva, this goes into the whole interlocking corporate directorates that I've talked about for years on the Savage Nation. You will find that some of the people on the pharmaceutical boards sit on school boards, sit on media boards. It's all interlocking in order to control the outcome. It's going to take people like you who are in the profession, who really care about children, to try to get the word out. I know that it's not often that you're going to get a chance on a radio show because no one else is talking about it but me. And God bless you for calling the show. That really was something. That was a wonderful call. That was a wonderful call. So when there's a lot of money at stake, God forbid you should stand up to the guilds. That's all I can tell you. Well, we got callers around the country on this topic. If you want me to continue, I can do it. I mean, there's other sound out there. Before I take your calls on this controversy that we're involved in, I must play a little sound from a man who was a breath away from becoming president. And this is this Frenchman, John Kerry, who has the nerve to say that the reduction in violence in Iraq has nothing to do with the surge. Now, we are so lucky that, I mean, George Bush has his problems. We know that. But when you have a man like Kerry who could have taken over this country, just as Obama could possibly take over this country from the same corrupt left-wing machine, attacking our troops and saying that the reduction of violence in Iraq is a result of the sheiks, not our troops. Listen to clip 7 Seven.
The fact is that the most significant reason you've had a reduction in violence, I mean, I've met with these sheikhs and with the governor of Anbar province and the others, and they've told me point blank the importance that their decision to begin what's called the Sunni Awakening, the Sons of Iraq, whom we are incidentally paying very large sums of money for this awakening, they made a decision to go after Al-Qaeda.
Let's stop now, right there. So in other words, he's saying our troops didn't do it, but it was a bunch of tribal sheiks who are to get the credit. Now, if this is not an example of the treasonous mind of the ketchup man, I don't know what is treason. To say to all the boys and men who have come home without limbs or in body bags, to their families, no, no, it wasn't your son or your husband or your brother or your father who brought peace to the region. It was the sheiks who brought peace to the region. This is the kind of seditious rubbish that the Democrat Party is famous for. And if you think that Obama thinks differently than John Kerry, then I can recommend it at NBC television to you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We'll go back to the other topics that we have been talking about. San Francisco, Ray, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Michael, you make very few mistakes, but I think you're making a mistake here by not going on Good Morning America and voicing you, the Savage Nation, and us, and me, because you're the counter to the ACLU. You're the counter to the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs, and you need to be heard, Michael, and that's the perfect form. And when they ask you a dumb question, you just do your headlines, and you just rewrite the question, and then you answer it like you always
but
do.
But, Roy, you know, last night I went on CNN, and there was a fill-in for Larry King, Glenn Beck. He's not a bad guy, actually. He's a very nice guy. All he did was play my the soundbite that was taken out of context and then ask me leading questions. He let me answer the questions to his credit. And then he immediately followed up with two drug-peddling quacks, in my opinion, who tried to negate me. This is what they specialize in, Ray. There's no way to win with Good Morning America. It's a rigged system. It's like betting at a racetrack when you know what the odds are. I don't really want to put myself into the Daniel and the Lions den again. I've done this day in and day out for year after year, day in and day out. It's hard enough on radio where I can somewhat control the outcome. But when I put myself in the Lions den, and they have the right to cut what I say, to edit over me, to put guests over me, how can I win in that situation? They're not going to listen to what I'm saying.
It's got to be live, Michael, like we are now. Demand that it's live, and as calm and cool as you are today, you can just lay it out, and how can anyone argue with this?
They can't beat me, because I have truth on my side, and have the facts on my side, and I hope you heard Dr. Bregan today. I'm sure you did. You hear any of that?
I just came in on this hour, Mike.
Oh, my God. I had a psychiatrist on for an hour who has virtually agreed, but actually made me embarrassed by the meekness of my actual statements on this issue. He thinks it's far worse than I do, and he has worked with children, and he's worked against the drugging of our children. He says it's out of control, that the doctors are owned by the pharmaceutical companies, and they have increased these categories of illness in order to drug our children and control them. And they're actually treating kids with so-called autism, who may not have it, with drugs that were developed to control the most violent people in mental hospitals. He said they're destroying the children's brains permanently with these dangerous drugs. It was a shocking interview, Ray. Do you think he will ever be invited to Good Morning America? Well, I guess you have to look at the news company who's on the board of directors, whether they sit on pharmaceutical boards, whether they also sit on other boards that where the this kind of truth would conflict with the sale of certain products to get that answer. It's way beyond what I care to do right now. The phone number here again is 1-800-449-825. In fact, I would like to replay that interview in part later on this week. I may take a few days off and do Pow Hana here. I've had enough of this for a while. I have stated my case. My website will be updated regularly. I think I'm going to disappear from the public view for a few days. I just need to get out of Dodge. But we're going to play a lot of what was on this show today, yesterday, in order for you to get the full picture of Michael Savage and understand that there is no greater defender of children than Michael Savage. And there is no greater danger to our children than the ACLU and Media Matters. I'll be right back. Savage. we go, the running mate thing. I can't believe that Obama would pick Sam Nunn. Nunn as a running mate? Nunn is a nonentity. John Edwards would destroy his campaign, and I hope he picks Edwards. Edwards is a lawyer, which doesn't make him evil, but he's a lawyer who made his fortune, John Edwards, by destroying hospitals and doctors. You talk about medical misdiagnosis. Here's a man, John Edwards, who made my flesh crawl. You know, I generally don't like liberalism, okay, but there are people who are on the spectrum of liberalism that are tolerable, if you want to call it the liberal spectrum. Edwards is on the far end of that spectrum, and he's not tolerable. He is one of the biggest phonies I've ever seen, John Edwards, and I'll tell you why. He made his fortune as a trial lawyer by attacking doctors and hospitals, by getting juries, toothless juries, in the Appalachian Mountains primarily, ignoramuses, to believe that congenital illnesses in children were caused by the malpractice of doctors and the malpractice of hospitals, destroying doctors like a scythe through the Southeast, closing down hospitals like a scythe through the Southeast. And the man, Edwards, did not really play well in America. The only reason Obama would select him as a running mate is because of the money he can bring from the American Trial Lawyers Association. But the people themselves never liked John Edwards. I can guarantee you that's true. So I hope he picks him. The bigger question is, who would John McCain pick? Because it's going to be crucial to whether or not people will vote for a man they sort of, maybe, who knows, like more than Obama, but they're afraid of his age. Primarily, it's his biggest deficit. Everyone I speak to who would vote for a conservative Republican, and he's not conservative, he's only a Republican, are afraid of his age. They see a wooden man, a tin man, and they know it's because of his war injuries, and they're sympathetic to him, but they're worried. They're worried that he's going to collapse on the campaign trail or die in office, and rightly so. And so they say, well, who's he going to pick? Now, Romney would have been a great, you know, candidate. Romney would sweep the floor with Obama. The reason Romney was knocked out of the box, even though he was way ahead of McCain, remains a mystery. It was the Republican Party that did this. And, of course, the media helped froth up the hatred for Romney because he's a Mormon. And, of course, they'd rather accept a radical Muslim in the form of an Al-Qaeda member than a Christian of any kind. You understand that. And anybody who's an actual religious person in America, particularly of the Christian religion, is of course, attacked by the Christophobes in the media, who are atheists by and large, and will embrace, even as I say, radical Islam before they would embrace a Christian. And I'll let it go at that. I won't let it go at that. I'll conclude with one other point on this whole presidential thing. It's interesting to me that Obama's middle name, Barack Hussein Obama, how could you say Hussein? Why would his middle name be an issue? Well, why wouldn't it be an issue? It's a Muslim name. Why shouldn't people be wondering why he has a Muslim name if he claims he has no Islamic background? The question is, why is he not proud of his Muslim background? I mean, it doesn't mean that because he's Muslim, he's dangerous. If he's got Muslim heritage, which he does clearly from his father, he should state so. As I've said 1,000 times, not all Muslims are terrorists. You know that. You know I've said it, even though the very same forces that are trying to hammer me to a cross with the autism comments try to say that I said all Muslims were terrorists when I never said that. But this is the battle that we're all facing. But to get back to Barack Hussein Obama, it is an issue. For example, what if John McCain's middle name was Jesus? What if his middle name was Jesus? And it would be John Jesus McCain. Say, well, what do you mean his name is Jesus? Where do you get the name Jesus from? Is that an issue? Well, let me ask you something. The very fair-minded people in the media who are saying Hussein is not an issue, do you think they would be as benevolent and as tolerant if John McCain's middle name were Jesus? What if his name was John Jesus McCain? They'd say, what does he have in mind? Does he want to convert everybody? Does he want to impose Christianity on everybody? It would be a legitimate question if his name was John Jesus McCain, wouldn't it? So why is it not a legitimate concern when it's Barack Hussein Obama? It was Barry until he found out that using a cool name like Barack would get the liberals literally frothing and walking on hands and knees. Those are the old days in Hawaii. When he was Barry Obama, he was just a nice kid. Then all of a sudden he found out that by saying his name was Barack, multi-culti, wow, what a cool name. We better get on our hands and knees and really get down and pray to the new Messiah. And now we have this phenomenon entirely created by the empty skirts and the empty suits in the media, who reserve all of their vitriol not for Al-Qaeda, not for those who cut off heads, not for those who blow up marketplaces, not for those who kill people for no reason, but for Michael Savage and others in the media who dare stand up to the evil forces in America. Again, I direct you to the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com, and always this phone number, 1-800-449-8255, and to my syndicators standing behind me, Talk Radio Network. I got to take my hat off to them. I believe that others in the media would have been scared off by now, but luckily, I really have people around me who believe in me and believe in the truth and believe in the American way sufficient to stand up to the lies and to defend me. And so there it is. Do I need to be defended? Not really. The truth should defend me. The people who should be defending themselves are the people in the NIMH. They're the people who have been bought out and sold out by the pharmaceutical establishment. The people who should be picketed are the pharmaceutical manufacturers who are putting drugs in our children's systems that are destroying their brains. That's where the picketers should be. And of course, there was a day when there were pickets outside pharmaceutical firms' headquarters in New York. But those days are long gone. Today, the picketers, strangely enough, outside the station in New York that carries this show, were 99% men. There were no children there, and they all had identical picket signs. Now, I ask you, if they were concerned parents of children with autism, where were the children? And where were their wives? Think about it. This is an orchestrated propaganda campaign by the forces of evil, the ACLU and Media Matters, two of the most dangerous subversive groups in the history of America. This is the Savage Nation. God bless America, and God save our children.
Savage.